Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, it's a family affair.
It is.
We have the kids in here with us. This is our, we're going to do it every year. The kid-friendly version of our show, which is kind of scary because I'm sure in about 12 to 15 years when we're doing the kid-friendly version of the show, it probably won't be so kid-friendly because our kids will be big enough and they'll be like, listen to this.
It'll be the worst of the worst.
It'll be the most extreme show of the year.
Yes.
So it's starting out as the most tame show, but still really good. But eventually with this episode will be the most extreme show.
That's right.
That we do. So on today's episode, a grandmotherly spirit watches over a boy and even enforces the house rules. Attending a sporting event for the first time as a child can be very exciting and educational, especially when you have a deceased legendary athlete sitting right next to you. Can an animal ever repay the person who rescues them? One listener finds her deceased dog may have done just that, and sounds of happy children echo in the middle of a school pool, only the entire facility is empty, and a toddler survives a deadly fall thanks to a ghost. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again, along with Olivia and Harper. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
These two little girls are all set to share in the ghost stories with us, and we're going to do the show fairly normal. We read the stories.
Yeah.
And they don't know this because they don't listen to the show, which is a good thing.
No.
But we read the stories, and then we talk about the stories a little bit after we read them. All right?
Oh, we do that in class.
You do? So we're going to do something kind of like that here today, where we're going to go through the stories and kind of discuss them and give our thoughts on them and whatnot. And I know the littlest one over here, Harper, wanted to share a story. Right, Harp? You wanted to share a ghost story with everybody?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what is your ghost story called?
No Noggin.
The Story of No Noggin. Okay. Well, I'm going to put some music on for you.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Harper. Now, you tell everybody.
Okay.
The Story of No Noggin.
Mm-mm-mm.
Okay. Go ahead.
No Noggin lose his head. And didn't have a head anymore. And he didn't have a head.
How did he lose his head? What happened?
I don't know.
What did he do once he had no head?
I don't know.
Was he looking for his head?
Mm-hmm.
Did he ever find his head?
No.
Was his head made out of something?
No.
Was it a pumpkin?
Yeah.
Yeah?
It was a scary pumpkin.
A scary one.
Okay.
It was.
Did it scare all the people in the town?
Yeah.
Did he ever find the head?
Mm-mm. Oh, yeah.
He did?
And then what happened?
Didn't it rose his head.
Is that it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There we go. All right.
Yay.
Thank you.
The end.
All right.
Let's talk about another show story.
What other ghost story do you do? You have another one?
Uh-huh.
What's your other one?
The Halloween. Spooky one.
Should we read one on the show here?
Uh-huh.
And then we can talk about it once we're done reading it?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Let's do that. Okay. Our first story comes into us today from Michael.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael writes in, thank you for sharing my story back in November. I'm the guy that shared the story about the shadow person that I saw three times before my father's death. I do agree that it is most likely a dark entity. I have a number of other events that I'd like to share. And today I wanted to tell you a little about the house I grew up in here in San Laredo, California. My parents bought the house in 1977, shortly after their marriage. From what my mother had said, the neighborhood kids wanted to know why they had bought the haunted house. Mm-hmm. Apparently, some of the neighbors had seen one of the previous owners walking around inside the house, even though they knew that she was dead. My mother's first encounter with the ghost, Mrs. St. Louis, was while she was pregnant with me.
I want to do Harper's show.
I think this is Harper's show.
This is the Harper show, honey.
Okay.
So we'll keep going on with the show.
Okay.
She had been cleaning dishes and turned around to put away a knife when she walked into someone that she could not see. She apologized for walking into the ghost, explaining that she couldn't see it. Then stated that as long as the ghost didn't hurt her or her family, that it was welcome to stay. After I was born, my mother would see an elderly woman standing next to my crib with a happy expression on her aged face, softly whispering to me while I slept. My mom was apparently fine with this, and Mrs. St. Louis did not appear to be a danger to me, even if she was a ghost. At the age of 2, I tried to jump through the window in the front door and got my head stuck in the shattered glass. I had been playing Superman. Miraculously, I didn't have a scratch once Mom got my head out. She occasionally credits the ghost of Mrs. St. Louis with preventing me from being hurt. Several years later, when I was in high school, my brother brought a friend over to the house. Mom had a rule that we could not have guests visiting if she was not home. My brother was purposely ignoring it, even though I did point out Mrs. St. Louis visually manifested in the sunlight dining room with hands on her hips and a stern expression, terrifying my brother's friend. When asked who or what that was, the response that my brother gave was, "That's just our resident ghost. As long as you behave, it won't be a problem." As you may have guessed, my brother's friend immediately left. Even though there was a dark influence over that house, I don't think that Mrs. St. Louis was ever a problem. Take care, Michael, from the San Francisco Bay area.
At first I was scared, and then I got to realize that the ghost was nice and it was just trying to protect the person, all the people.
You think she was trying to protect the family?
Yeah.
That's good. What do you think, Harper?
Good.
You like the story?
Uh-huh.
Was it scary or was it okay?
It was a scary one.
Okay.
Want to hear another story?
Yeah.
Okay, let's hear another ghost story.
I want to do another Harper story.
You want to share another one of your stories?
Yeah.
Do you have one ready to go?
Uh-huh.
Okay, share your story.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I have another no-noggin
one. Another no-noggin one?
Uh-huh.
Okay, go ahead and tell it to everybody.
There is another no-noggin named a scarecrow named Harper.
Okay.
And I lost my head.
And you lost your head?
Uh-huh. And you came here and I kicked cats.
You kicked hats or you kicked cats?
I kicked cats.
Hats, okay. Okay. Not cats. So you kicked the hats. Is that because people thought that the head was in the hat? Oh.
The end.
Okay.
Right. Chris writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny."
Amen.
Okay.
Amen. Chris writes in, "Hey, Tony and Jenny, I've been listening."
The end. Amen.
Okay, Chris writes in, "Hey, Tony and Jenny, I've been listening to your show for a few weeks now." Okay. Okay, Harp, time to listen to a story, okay?
Okay.
Chris writes in, "I've been listening to your show for a few weeks now after I was introduced by a friend. I'm a proud EPP and listen to your show during my lunch hour at work daily." Okay, we'll hear your next story in a little bit, honey. "I have a few experiences with the paranormal, but I've decided to tell you a story I read a few years ago about my local football team. I'd like to make it clear this is not my story, but I find it interesting and thought I would share. I grew up in Glasgow, Scotland, just a few miles away from Parkhead, the stadium of Glasgow Celtic FC. In my earliest memories of visiting the ground, the team was coached by a fiery redhead club legend named Tommy Burns. Tommy had played for the Celtic between 1975 and 1989, during which time he was nicknamed Twists and Turns due to his ability to twist and turn his way past the opposition, and coached between 1994 and 97. In March of 2006, Tommy was diagnosed with cancer and passed away in 2008. Enough of the backstory. Here's the real story. Ready for the ghostly part? Harp? Ready to listen? Here comes the ghostly part. In 2011, the Celtic were playing against their biggest rivals, the Rangers, at Parkhead. On this night, a grandfather decided to take his granddaughter to her very first game. She was only age 6. Throughout the game, the girl seemed to be talking away to herself. Knowing the attention spans kids have, the grandfather ignored this. At halftime, he took her to the concession stand for some soda and sweets. Upon returning to their seat, the girl looked puzzled and asked, "Grandpa, where did the nice man go?" Confused as he was sure the seat beside his granddaughter was empty, he replied, "What man?" She replied, "The man with the red hair." His confusion now morphed into worry. As a realization dawned on him, a stranger had been talking to his granddaughter, and he hadn't been even noticed. The rest of the game was spent on edge, watching for the man with red hair.
Me?
No, not you. I know you have red hair, but we're talking about a different guy with red hair.
And you're a girl.
Yeah. After they arrived at home, and the granddad, in a worry, told her parents about the incident, they approached the girl and asked her if she knew who the man was. Yes, she replied. "He told me his name was Mr. Twists and Turns." She then continues to tell them Mr. Twists and Turns used to work in the stadium. He had a desk and his own special seat at the front. Make of the story what you will, but for me, a friend is... I find it hard to believe a girl who wasn't even alive at the time Tommy was at the club could know such detail. Keep up the good work. I'll write again with some of my own experiences soon. Regards, Chris.
Kind of scary.
Okay.
What do you think about the little girl who was talking to somebody who wasn't there?
Batman.
Have you ever talked to anyone who wasn't there?
There was Batman talking to anyone.
I think that at age 6, that the chances of her learning about this person and then pretending to have this conversation for that long of a period of time and mm-hmm. then tell this big lie, I think, probably didn't happen. I think she saw somebody and she was talking to him.
Yeah.
And that's how she knew about that.
I think it's beyond being like a tale where it's a kid making something up because they're so specific.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell when kids are lying. We know. and this one, just it was just so detailed.
Yeah.
And that's what really makes it stand out, is very likely being something that actually occurred. The phone number here is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. Of course, you can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Hannah writes in, "Hey guys, this story isn't mine, but my aunt was a social worker for many years. She often had to go to very impoverished and dangerous towns to check on family situations. One night on her way back to her car, she heard a pathetic whimpering coming from under a nearby house's porch. When she went to investigate, she found a Doberman dog in really bad shape. He was chained up with his muzzle duct tape shut and missing most of his left ear. Being the animal lover she is, she ran to get her car and loaded him in. He wasn't very heavy for being so thin. The vet said it was impossible, but the dog lived and became a beloved family pet. His name was Bruce. Despite his rough beginning, he was the most even-tempered dog I've ever met. He let me crawl all over him as a toddler. Bruce passed away after a long and happy life. My aunt still has his tags on her keyring. But a year after Bruce passed, my aunt found herself back in a dangerous area for work. When they sent a small young woman to these places alone is beyond me. She was jogging to the lot she parked in because she said she felt like she was being followed. Well, she was. She was grabbed from behind and put in a tight headlock. She was fighting for her life, making as much noise as possible. She was dragged behind a vacant house, and she was almost unconscious when the man let her go and sprinted away screaming for help. An elderly woman had heard the struggle and called the police. It wasn't long before they found my aunt. As for her would-be abductor, he literally ran into the police's arms. He was hauling ass and screaming his head off. When he saw the officer, he yelled, shoot it," pointing behind him. The officer saw nothing chasing him. So he assumed the man was on drugs and took him in. On the ride to the station, the man continued to yell at the officer that he needed to go back and shoot the crazy dog before it killed someone. He described the dog as being a Doberman with one ear. My aunt knows it was Bruce coming back to save her, like she had saved him. My family and all I believe, and I all believe that all dogs and other critters go to heaven, possibly even returning as guardian angels. Best wishes, Hannah from New York City. Mommy, your thoughts?
Oh, I like this one. And I think that you do have your favorite pets that maybe still stick around.
Sure. Kind of as guardian angels. What do you think?
I was sleeping in my room and I got up to get a water and I heard a meow coming from the dog room where the Jazzy sleeps, which is, and it was really weird because the cat I had was named Kobe, and it had died because it had a stroke, and so before it died, it was having it like meowed a lot, and I thought it was weird how I heard a meow, but when I went in there, my dog was sleeping.
You thought you heard the meow?
A meow, yeah.
Wow.
Like from a cat.
Could be.
And my dog was sleeping.
So. Could be. Could have just been saying hi.
Yeah.
Like, hi, I'm over here. I had a cat when I was little that it was named Kitty, and it always would jump up on my bed at night. And it died when I was about, I don't know, 8 or so.
My age.
Mm-hmm. And it would sleep at the end of my bed. And you always, you know what the feeling is of a cat jumping on your bed. You just, you have that feeling down by your feet. And after she had died, I, for a lot of years, when I was laying in bed at my parents' house, would think I would hear or feel the cat jumping on the bed. And I didn't think anything of it. I just thought, well, you know, it's just me. I'm just used to it. But there were so many times it was so distinct and it felt like it was there. It wasn't until we were doing this show that I thought about it and went, wait a minute, I wonder if there was the ghost of my cat coming back.
I really talk.
You really do talk, yes. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online as we continue on with our kid-friendly edition of the show that you can, of course, share with your kids and not worry about any bad language and stories that are not too freaky for Halloween. Lola writes in, when I was in high school in a small Utah town and my sister was in middle school, our schools were on the same piece of property. The high schoolers used the pool in the middle school and the middle school used our football field and band room. The band room, as a matter of fact, was the reason I first started hearing stories about how our schools weren't quite right. Because the school was open, construction was done on the new wing a night after school was over, and construction workers had walked through the old halls. The school only dated back to the 50s, but was in terrible shape to get to the work site. Apparently, people were quitting the work crew because they would hear the sound of children laughing and carrying on as if class was in session. But when they went to look, the rooms were dark and locked. They were too freaked out to continue working in the building at night. Across the way, there were stories about ghost children at the middle school pool. These were just rumors until my family began experiencing them firsthand. I was staying late as part of a play rehearsal at the high school my junior year and had forgotten something in my locker. I left the auditorium and went around the corner to my locker in a hall that is shaped like a U or a horseshoe. This meant there was a hall to my left and my right, both of which led back into the old high school, right of the parking lot. It was around 10 o'clock at night, and there was a bunch of theater kids in the building, so it came as no surprise to me when a girl in a bright blue old-fashioned dress hurried past me from the old hall towards the parking lot. I guess I'm not the only one who forgot something, I thought. and then realized I hadn't heard the door open. I called out, "Oh no, is it locked?" And no one answered. I closed my locker and turned around to see that the doors were in fact padlocked shut and there was no girl. She just vanished into thin air. I didn't go anywhere alone during late rehearsals after that. A few years later, my little sister, not a theater nerd like me, was big on the swim team. She'd work as a lifeguard and basically lived at the middle school pool. The swimmers were hardcore and would arrive at 5 a.m. in the morning to swim, when it was still pitch dark and no one else was there. She and another girl arrived one morning as per usual, entered the school only to hear the sounds of children giggling and goofing off inside the pool complex. They unlocked the door and ran in, trying to catch what they thought were trespassers. In the dark, they heard feet splashing across the deck and up the stairs to the observation deck and took off after the running children, shouting at them to stop. Then they got up the stairs to the observation deck. There were no children. There's no other way down from that section of the pool unless you jump into the pool itself, which you might not even make it to. There was simply no other explanation. The ghosts had gone swimming. Years have passed, and the high school has been torn down. I can't help but wonder if the children are gone forever, or if you might be able to see them in that dirt field if you waited long enough. Lola from Los Angeles.
So would you haunt your school?
Not unless the kids knew that I was a nice ghost.
You wouldn't just go back and try and mess with them and scare them?
No.
I would.
I know you would.
I'd be all about that. I'd be showing up at schools unannounced, and all of a sudden, what's going on here? Why are all the toilets flushing? Do they still have books? You still have books, don't you?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, books falling off shelves. It'd be great fun.
Uh-huh.
It would be great fun.
I would like to go maybe during the night and help the teachers and, like, pick up the classroom.
So you'd be a helpful pickup ghost. We've had ghosts like that before.
We have.
That go around and pick things up and keep things nice and tidy. Harp?
Yep.
Would you haunt a school?
Yeah.
What would you be doing? What would be the part of the school that you'd like to haunt?
I will find a new noggin. And I picked up my room.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I will see there is a ghost.
Okay.
Here's something for everybody to know. Harper is all about no noggin.
Yes, that is what we've learned today. She's been excited about this since we told her she'd be on the show.
Yeah.
She's been saying, I'm going to tell my no noggin story. So she's been amped up and ready to go for the no noggin story. Hannah writes in, "Hey guys, this is the story of the dress up lady." You guys like playing dress up, don't you?
A lot.
Yeah, what do you like to dress up as, Harp?
Like princesses and Batman.
Like princesses and Batman.
Ninja Turtles.
And Ninja Turtles. Okay, we have an eclectic mix.
We do.
Of dress-up in our basement. We really do. My whole life, I believed this woman to be real, flesh-and-blood person, solid childhood memory. It was only last year that I discovered that the middle-aged woman in Victorian-era clothing was never seen by any other member of my family. They all considered her to be my imaginary friend. I had imaginary friends, and she was not one of them. She wore a dark green dress that I thought were just play dress-up clothes for the doll tea parties she would help me set up. My mom thought my imaginary tea party friend was adorable and forbid my older siblings to tease me about having an imaginary friend. I lived my whole life thinking that this woman I remembered must have been a friendly neighbor or babysitter. In disbelief that this woman had not been a real person and my siblings must have been mistaken, I asked my mother about her. My mother's answer was, "No, I never saw her, but she was real. Definitely real." She continued to tell me an amazing story. The house I spent my early childhood in was, in fact, an old Victorian. It was often in a state of disrepair. After one renovation was completed, another would begin. At one point, they were rebuilding the stairs leading down to the basement. It was just the bare wood and skeleton of the stairs. Because there was no railing yet, we were told to stay away. My mom left me with my older sister so she could get some laundry done. My sister had a friend over and couldn't be bothered with keeping me entertained. So I decided to tootle off and keep my mother company in the basement laundry room. My mother looked over from her work to see me on this unstable staircase. One side of the staircase was completely exposed, and of course I was dangling my torso off the top step over the edge. My mother yelled, begging me not to move. As she sprinted towards me, I lost my balance and slipped headfirst over the edge. What happened next was a miracle. I slowed down in midair, rotating to land gently on my feet. My mother, completely terrified and shocked, grabbed me in her arms, crying. Apparently, I said, "Don't cry, Mama. Dress-up lady caught me." I owe my life to the dead. I enjoy much of your podcast. Thank you for all your hard work you put into it. Hannah, the EPP from New York City.
I think I would like to have that, the dress-up lady, keep me company. I think that'd be fun.
Would you be freaked out at all if you realized that the person you'd been talking to and playing with wasn't actually real? Or would you be cool with it?
I'd be probably cool with it because I know you guys are kind of experienced with ghosts and I know they don't do much to you. It's just really, it depends on how the person would.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's true. Because sometimes you have nice ghosts and sometimes you don't.
Harp, how about you? Would you like to have the dress-up lady hanging out with you?
Yeah.
What would you dress up as with her?
I would dress up with her.
Yeah?
Like a princess.
A princess.
Okay.
There you go.
And Batman.
And Batman, yes. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. At Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Jason writes in, "I would not say my story is a ghost story, but it is in the realms of the paranormal. I'll let you decide. I live in England and grew up in a small village where not a lot ever happened. It was not renowned for ghosts or haunted places, just a normal, quaint English village. Although the village is mentioned in the Doomsday Book nearly 1,000 years ago, it was kind of census. I've told the story many times to friends and family and have always been ridiculed or laughed at, but I know it happened and don't really mind if people do not believe me. It happened over 20 years ago when I was about 19 years old. My best friend and I, won't say his name as I have not asked him if it's okay to, decided to go fishing one summer's day. We always fished in the same pond, which is about a half mile from our village, and we always walked the same way, which was to walk alongside a railway track. It was just a one-line track that does not turn off anywhere, just goes a straight line for about 50 miles. Anyway, we had walked this way 100 times before and climbed over the fence guarding the railway track and started our walk along the track to the pond. All along our walk, there's nothing but fields of barley until you reach the pond. We spent the day fishing, and at about 9 p.m., we decided to pack up for the walk back home, as it would start to get dark soon. We rejoined the railway track and headed home. By this time, it was starting to get dark. We were just chatting, guy stuff, when my friend told me to look at the sky. No, it wasn't a UFO, but I can only describe it as the sky just looked strange. It was as though we could see the northern lights, but you don't see them right in the middle of England. We thought it was strange, but it looked pretty cool. After walking about 100 yards, after first spotting the lights, we came across a small farmhouse set back 20 yards from the railway track. That's not unusual in itself, except there should not have been a farmhouse there. As I said earlier, we'd walked the same route 100 times before, and there's nothing but fields. We were both shocked we had missed seeing this house before after all the times we walked this way. My friend wanted to go look around the house, as it obviously was deserted, but how decrepit it looked. But I was a little bit wary of going near it. I can't explain why. It just gave me a strange feeling as I looked at it. A feeling of dread and sadness. As I did not wish to look like a wuss to my friend, I followed him to the house. We made our way to the back of the house, and I noticed it had fire damage and still had a strong smell of smoke. Now, I must tell you, the house was not a modern-looking house. It looked very old and quite small, and I remember it had wooden beams on the outside, on the front and rear of the house. My friend pushed open the back door of the house, which was a split door, kind of how you have in a stable, so the horse can look out. So he did so. A big gush of wind hit us both. It wasn't cold. It was very warm, and I swear I heard a child's cry. At this point, we both ran back to the train tracks and walked very fast back home. The next morning, my friend came round to my house, as he wanted to go back to the house in the day. I asked him if he was insane. He just laughed and said it would not be so bad in the daytime. After a lot of coercion, I agreed to go with him. We once again climbed over the fence guarding the tracks and started to make our way back towards the pond. My friend kept talking about how old the house was, and I think he was hoping to find something of value. After about 20 minutes, we reached the pond and could not believe we just walked straight past the house without noticing it, although we'd been talking the whole time, so we could have missed it. We turned around and started to make our way back down the tracks towards the house. We never spoke on the way, so we wouldn't miss it, but there was nothing but fields of barley, 2 feet high, all the way back to our village. We spent the next 2 hours walking up and down the railway tracks looking for this house, but it just was not there. There was not even a sign it was ever there. Perhaps it had been demolished that same morning before we got there, but there was nothing anywhere to suggest a house was ever there. No rubble. No nothing. Even if it had been demolished that morning and all the rubble taken away, you would still be able to see where it once stood. But there was nothing but barley fields, like I said, 2 feet high. We not walked in a different direction to make our way home that night before, as there are only two directions on a straight piece of track. Besides, like I've mentioned before, we had walked the same route 100 times before, and it's only half a mile to our village from the pond, so you cannot go in the wrong direction. We fished the pond many times since and have never had any other experiences, and always using the same route. Anyway, that's my story. Is it paranormal? I don't know. But after what I saw and how the sky looked, it definitely comes under strange. I don't know if it's the kind of story you read for your show. Like I said, I didn't see any ghosts, but thank you for taking the time to look at my story. Keep up the great work. I love your show. I listen to it every day at work. But I will say your wife's sultry voice does distract me from my work.
Oh, I forgot that was in that story.
Forgot to edit that part out there?
Yeah.
Once again, thank you for what you do and giving us, who are laughed at, a place to say our experiences without ridicule. Much love from cousins across the pond. Sultry voice, what do you think?
I like this one. I think it's a wrinkle in time, and I think that something did happen at that house, but who knows how long ago that was.
Yeah, it's really difficult to tell exactly what was, you know, being seen there and how long ago that had existed. But that does happen. It's not the first story that we've had where a house or a structure of some sort comes and goes.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's kind of cool how they went back a couple of times to make sure that they just didn't miss it at all. And they were for sure to not find it after they saw it that one night. I think since they saw something in the sky, maybe it could have been like...
Could have been what?
It could have been something like a UFO, maybe.
That beamed the house up?
Yeah, like...
Oh.
Kind of distract them.
That's not something I'd thought of.
Interesting thought. Harp?
Yeah.
What do you think happened to the house?
It broke. Yeah.
Okay. That answers that then.
Okay,
no more questions on that story. My guess is that it existed at one point in time, and for whatever reason, it existed again for one more night. Very interesting. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Donna writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. Love your show. And have a few stories I'd like to share with you. I'll start with just one for now. So since listening to your podcast, I find myself having more discussions with others about the paranormal, which is one of my favorite topics. Not too long ago, I went along with my mom to visit my grandmother in a nursing home. My mom is very open-minded, and we sometimes go on for hours about the paranormal. I knew Granny was very religious and somewhat close-minded about it, but decided on a whim to ask her if she'd had any experiences. She's still very clear-minded and not one to tell tales. I'll try to relate the story as accurately as possible from her perspective. Did you hear the story about my father's long journey in the snow? She asked me. I'd remembered a bit about it, not much, as it was probably told to me by my great-grandpa himself years ago. Please refresh my memory, Grammy. I responded, well, she began, it was in the year 1912. And my father was 10 at the time, living in a small cabin in the backwoods of Maine with his parents and 5 siblings. He told me how he remembered helping his mother take in the clothes from the line with the wind whipping through them and flurries swirling in the cool fall air. His mother seemed unwell to him, so he told her to go in the house and get warm and he'd finish. Following behind her not too long after, he found her passed out on the floor with little ones around her trying to wake her. She awoke and went to her bed immediately to nap, which was not like her. My father's dad was away for work, and all the kids, all under the age of 10, were miles away from civilization. That night and into the next night, everyone except for my father became ill. They were all coughing and feverish. My grandmother took my young father aside and told him that he had to go on an important journey. He had to walk to town, which is more than 15 miles away, to get a doctor. My father felt scared, but like he had to be the man. He told his family goodbye, dressed as warmly as possible, and headed out to the somewhat straight road to town. Only a few hours into the track, it began to snow. The snow turned into blizzard conditions, and he could barely see a foot in front of him. He kept on slowly, feeling the tips of his toes and fingers numbing. He wanted to cry, believing he wouldn't make it, but it was too cold to cry. Running on empty, he sat down on a log to try to find the strength to keep going. He really had no idea how long he'd been walking or how long he'd been left. And through the blur of snowflakes, he saw something coming his way. He wasn't sure if he should feel relieved or scared by the approaching stranger. Once the stranger got closer, he felt a warm, peaceful feeling come over him. The stranger said, "Hi, young man. Have you seen a yellow dog by any chance?" "No," my father answered, a bit perplexed. "Where did this man come from? Maybe you could help me find him." The man said and introduced himself as Adam. Adam was as young as my father described, very handsome in his 20s, maybe, but he noticed his clothes were a bit odd. At that time, he didn't recognize the clothes Adam wore until years later in life. He then realized the clothes were of a pilot with a hat, with fur and flaps and a bomber jacket. At that time, he thought how cold he must be, being not warmly dressed, but Adam seemed fine. My father said Adam beamed with joy and walked with him until reaching the small town. They talked and laughed as soon as they saw the town. The dog appeared from seemingly nowhere. Adam was laughing with excitement. And my father realized what should have taken him hours seemed more like minutes. He told Adam how wonderful it was that he found his dog, and Adam replied he was likewise happy that my father would be safe. Then in an instant, my father says he disappeared. The snow was letting up and he could see much further than before. But he was nowhere to be seen, making his way to town. And finally, to a doctor. He was given a bed and slept for what seemed forever. Unfortunately, my father's mother and siblings all died from influenza because no one could get out of them due to the blizzard for days. My grandmother ended the story there. My great-grandfather survived, therefore I exist, and he went on to have a happy life into his 90s. He married and had a boy and two girls. They named their son Adam. My uncle Adam became a pilot against his parents' will. He was extremely handsome and often wore the bomber attire in old photos I've seen. Uncle Adam died in 1941 at just 21 in a solo plane crash. I've always been drawn to his photos and feel like there was something very special about him. Was he an angel? Could the stranger Adam and Uncle Adam have been the same person? I may never know. I hope one day I'll meet him and he'll teach me how to fly.
So do you think that it could have been the same person? Just the ghost went back in time to help his dad as a little boy?
I really do. Just because the way everything is set up in the story, it kind of all leads to that, and it kind of makes sense for him to go back in time and do that.
Yeah. He's there, he's not there, looks like him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where it's like a pre-ghost.
Yeah.
That's the interesting thing. It's like the ghost of someone who doesn't exist yet coming out and doing something.
It makes you wonder if they have time restrictions, if they can go back in time.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting story. David writes in, "I love the show. It makes me realize that my family isn't the only ones that believe in ghosts. Still, I am very leery of telling my story. Not because it's scary, but because of disbelief from all that hear it, especially close friends. I've gotten to the point I just don't talk about it. About 10 years back, I was visiting a friend in the town in Ohio. There was an old, large school that was due to be torn down that just said to me, 'Come on in.' My friend was able to get keys so we could do some urban exploring. Inside, all the desks, chairs, and lockers had all been removed, but there was plenty of trash on the floor. I noticed that even though there was no breeze in the school, we had a balled-up piece of paper following us as if it was being blown. It was weird, but not really scary. That night, I had my first dream of her. It was a young girl, about 7 years old, who said she was lonely and if she could live with me. It was just a dream, or so I thought. So I said, sure. My life was never the same again. I was dating a girl, Jeannie, at the time. Our relationship was rocky at best. I think we were just too used to being together and that we couldn't end it, despite the arguments. Well, Sarah, the young ghost, as I called her, didn't like her. Jeannie started to be wakened up at night by covers being pulled off, hearing a little girl's voice when alone in the house, and so many things I can't recall at all. The final straw was when she was putting on her makeup in the bathroom. She leaned out the door to tell me something, and when she looked back in the mirror, there was a frowning face in the mirror drawn with her lipstick. She wound up leaving that night to get away from the torment. At this point, I was wondering if I had seen some demon instead of a girl. Here's where Sarah changed. A woman moved in down the hall. Now, having just gotten out of a bad relationship, the last thing I wanted was to get into another one. And the fact that I thought I might have a demon in my apartment didn't help. Well, one day, the woman had knocked on my door with a tray of cookies. Turns out that she had met my daughter, and she had told Barb, the neighbor, how much she liked cookies. I explained that it was just me in the house, and I knew of no girl in the complex. When Barb described her, it was exactly how I know Sarah in my dreams. Somehow, Barb and I hit it off. Nothing that happened to Jeannie seemed to happen to Barb. Sarah came to me in my dream that night and said how much she liked Barb and would like her as a mother. It was a month later when I saw Sarah, while awake, for the first time. I was really sick. I woke up with a small hand holding my hand. I looked up and saw Sarah. She told me I was sick and needed nursing and then vanished. A few minutes later, I heard the front door open and Barb came in the room. Barb told me that the little girl knocked on her door and told her that I needed her. Then the little girl vanished in front of her eyes. I asked how she had gotten in. I always locked the door, but hadn't given Barb a key yet. When she tried the door, it was unlocked. Barb was able to nurse me back to health by making sure I ate and drank plenty of water. I kept wondering when she was going to ask about Sarah, but it wasn't until I was back to health and paid her back by taking her an expensive dinner that the question came. I told her the whole story. I was sure it would be our last dinner, but it didn't seem to bother her. I proposed a few months later, and we married the following year. We didn't see her, but we both felt Sarah was at the wedding. Not much happened the next few years until we had our first child, Roy. We'd hear Roy laughing in the crib and Sarah's voice talking. Sarah would wake Barb or me up whenever there was a problem with Roy. When Roy got a little older, or even drew a picture of our family with Sarah as his older sister. I've told the story to friends and workmates, and most think I'm making it up. Now, the fact is, we really don't see Sarah very often. Sometimes the family does see her about 4 times a year, and it's when she wants us to know something. We usually just feel her hand in a comforting way, or she shows up in our dreams. Only once was she seen by all three of us at the same time. About 3 months ago, we saw her when we came home. Sarah was smiling in the living room and then faded away. 2 days later, Barb found out that she was pregnant. I think Sarah knew, but my friends didn't buy it. I really don't care what they think anymore. Sarah doesn't perform for them when they come over. Barb and I know we have 2 children with 1 on the way, and we are grateful that our adopted daughter is watching over us all. By the way, Sarah never talks about life after death or answers any questions. She only tells you what she wants you to know. Jeannie's life never got better. She'd be asked on a date, but we're never with them more than a couple of months. Dave.
I like that a lot because I think Sarah is really friendly, and I like how they feel like she's part of their family, and I think they're probably living happily now and Sarah watching over them.
Yeah.
It's like having an extra sibling.
Yeah.
Without having anything to deal with, without them stealing your toys.
That'd be awesome.
Exactly.
No dirty laundry.
Exactly.
No.
Why not?
Because I didn't.
Okay.
Okay. Did you like the ghost stories today? Did you have fun?
Yeah.
Good. Want to come back next year and have a little more to say?
Mm-hmm.
Start thinking about a new ghost story for next year?
Mm-hmm.
All right. You start working on that. Have fun, Livy?
Yeah, a lot of fun.
All right. Thank you guys for coming in and sharing our Halloween Kids episode with us here of Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, feel free to share this one, obviously, with the kids because it's pretty safe. Nothing too extreme. Tomorrow we'll be back with another all-new episode that will certainly be filled with a lot of words we can't say out loud right now.
Yes.
And some more stories as well. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like our show, help keep us on the air by becoming an EPP Extra Podcast Person. Sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Until next time, for Jenny, Olivia, and Harper Bruski, I'm Tony Bruski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.